Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To clarify once more, so must you be an alumnus of the particular university or state college, or would it be any university or state college in the state of Florida?
You must be, as a trustee, an alumni of that specific state university. I apologize for the delay.
So this was actually a debate about the SB 1726 higher education bill prior to the formal hearing dealing with the UWF and also PSC nominees to be on the trustees for both of those universities and college. And Gail Harrell there was asking Alexis Calatiud, who's running that bill. This is the companion bill to the bill that Michelle Salzman is running in the House. Same bill, that bill having a provision that in the future, all Board of Trustees members, for example, at a place like UWF, would have to either be residents of the state of Florida or be graduates of the University of West Florida, not just of the state university system in some sense, but of that particular university or that particular college, a clear response to the governor's dramatic missteps when it comes to the nominations to the Board of Trustees for University of West Florida that's caused so much drama. Carlos Guillermo Smith, also on the Senate committee.
Narrowing this down for the Board of Trustees members to only Florida residents or people who are graduates from a Florida college system or state university institution means that these Florida institutions are going to be led by Floridians or folks that are the product of Florida's higher education institution, which is the best in the nation. And that's really a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very healthy thing right now. And I think I've got this clip pulled up right now. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But Governor DeSantis took to lighting up the House yesterday over this bill, clearly targeting Michelle Salzman with his comments.
A new solution is in.
I'm sorry, that's not the one. I knew I would get it wrong. All right, one more time. I'll try this one, see if I get it right.
I see the Florida House trying to throw the leftists a lifeline. Don't give them a lifeline. We don't want leftism in the state of Florida. We want to make sure that our Florida model continues to carry the day.
I'm not sure I would describe Michelle Salzman as a leftist. I'm not sure I'd describe Gay Harrell as a leftist. I don't think the House is being leftist. I think the House is saying, sir, you screwed up badly. You didn't vet these people properly. You didn't go to the local community and say, who do you think should be on the Board of Trustees? You stepped into a place where for years you've neglected putting people on this board. Now there's all these vacancies and you suddenly put a bunch of people on here that none of us know, or maybe only one or two we know. And then they vote as a block to elect a highly controversial leader who's never been to the campus before in his life. None of this makes sense, sir. And we don't want to see this happen again anywhere. So, yeah, we're going to put some restrictions on how you do this. That's not giving the leftists cover. That's, if anything, preventing stupid abuses by people on the right or people on the left also who might decide, you know, hey, when it's my turn, I might put my people into these universities. You know, like all of it is just so bad. So the governor got it wrong. He continues to make it worse. And it continues to be a problem because, you know, these UWF nominees, again, which I've said this many times, I'll say it again. I think they're all like nice people. Okay. Decent people. Some of them are more qualified than others, but, and it would be fine if it were one person who had never been to UWF, one person who wasn't from Florida, one, you know what I mean? Like if that's fine. Outsiders can be very useful. I've told you, I like Adam Kissel. I think he's, of any of them, he's probably the one that's going to get turned down, even though I think he'd be a good add to the board. But one person in a mix of other people, all of whose names you know because they're from the local community, would be fine. I mean, no big deal. But when you put in eight brand new people that nobody really knows, you know, that are all going to vote in a block and do inexplicable things like elect Scott Yenner as the chair, it begs the question, why? What are you trying to accomplish? And now that you got caught with your hand in the education jar, you know, you're trying to pretend like, oh, they're just giving aid and comfort to the leftists. Sir. Sir. Know when you've lost. Acknowledge it. Own it. You know what? I would really respect the governor if he said something like this. You know what? My bad. I should have vetted these people more thoroughly. This was a mistake. Putting up somebody who'd never even been to the campus as the new chairman of the board was a mistake. It's indefensible. Put aside the controversial comments, that alone doesn't make any sense. And we're going to start over. I mean, I would respect him for that. I always respect people who acknowledge their mistakes and say, let's make it better in the future. But instead of acknowledging the mistake, now that the House and the Senate are working on a bill that would try to prevent this same kind of mistake, he's attacking them for facilitating leftists. Sir. Sir. My most vehement side eye in your direction. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Amanda Anza Antiques, announcing their grand opening coming up tomorrow at their 14,000-foot new location, 470 South Highway 29, Cantonment. Still no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good. In 98 and Highway 90. Wow, still flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you want a beautiful lawn coming up this summer, you got to start thinking about that now. It doesn't show up tomorrow when you start treating a lawn today. Instead, it shows up in June when you start treating a lawn in April. That's kind of the idea. And NSEC, they've got a healthy lawn program that'll make your lawn healthy, lush, and help keep weeds to a minimum. 8 annual applications that are timed, programmed, and targeted to get your specific lawn its specific needs when it needs it. The initial soil sample and the amendments that you need and the evaluation are all, of course, cost-free. You get nutrient applications with each standard service, seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging insect control, and fungicide. If you want it, they have a healthy landscape program for shrub care and the rest. Sign up today for $100 off your first lawn care application with any new annual lawn program that includes that soil sample and lime treatment on an average-sized yard. Sign up today at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants to spend every day at Play and Stay Pet Daycare while I'm at work. Good thing I can translate doggy. What's that? They're the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian? That's right. She says they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where she loves to play with her friends. Where are they located? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is located at 4220 Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Okay, come on, let's go. Good girl.
Bands on the Beach is back, so bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
All Our first remembrance is for White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, who this week confirmed rumors that her office does not respond to emails from journalists who put personal pronouns in their email signatures. Leavitt confirmed to the New York Times that, quote, as a matter of policy, we do not respond to reporters with pronouns in their bios, end quote. Now, dear Utherin and anyone with heightened gender sensitivity, I want you to know that this next part may be triggering for you. So, if you need to cover your ears and chant your mantras, we understand. Leavitt went on and added insult to injury on X, saying she ignores such journalists who use personal pronouns because, quote, it shows they ignore scientific realities and therefore ignore facts, end quote. I know, even though it's clearly an anti-scientific thing to say, it can still be hurtful. Now, obviously, we know from actual good science, plus all the rainbow reality our former federal research grant funding could buy, that gender is a constructed, fabricated, manipulated event in society and imposed upon individual humans who may or may not have merely male or female identities, as revealed to them by their third eye of inner truthiness. So it's actually Ms. Leavitt who is ignoring facts and scientific realities. But there is a broader problem here. The pronoun bio was one of the greatest public relations accomplishments of the Holy Order of the Rainbow in the last half decade. Making pronouns into a personal choice that people, even cisgender people, feel the need to use in introducing themselves put our gender anarchy dogma front and center in the thinking of every person who participated. And it put the burden on the advocates of the two-gender heresy to look strident and angry and refusing to participate. After all, if they even agreed to put he, him, his in their email or on their name tags, they were advancing our worldview by affirming gender as something you had to tell people about yourself because they couldn't presume to see it with their own eyes. Brilliant. But now Leavitt and this White House, in advancing the two-gender bigotry, have done so much to set back our order's subversive success at reshaping how Americans think about gender, and by refusing to answer these emails, Leavitt is now silencing those who would otherwise eagerly help to advance our worldview. This is terrible. She must be cast out. Woe unto all who offend. Second, just when we had thought the Brits had exhausted all their excellent leadership skills and progressive education, they've outdone themselves. The most recent edition of Who We Are, the anthology published by Collins and distributed to middle school children in jolly old England, contains a biography of French military hero and saint Joan of Arc, which describes her as non-binary rather than female. The evidence for her gender fluidity is in fact the same evidence which was used to convict her of heresy and burn her at the stake of intolerance, having her hair cut short and wearing male clothing and armor. The gender revelation of Joan follows in the tradition of the play I, Joan, performed at the Globe Theater, in which the saint is a non-binary character who uses they, them pronouns. Now, of course, Joan probably didn't realize she was non-binary at that time, as the concept has only existed for the last few decades. After that super truthy science has now replaced narrow-minded gender superstition and denialism of the gender spectrum. But this liberation of Joan from her own time is refreshing. As a Catholic, Joan was so oppressed by her religion that she couldn't even realize her own gender identity, even though she was clearly engaged in violating traditional gender norms for which she was executed. That and the visions thing. Now, some people are saying the Brits are stealing another female hero away from young women by redefining her as a non-woman. But don't you see, dear Utherin, how denying Joan her original gender actually makes her the ideal female heroine? Whatever. Only when a woman who puts her fate in God's hands, obeys the vision she receives, engages in military triumph and a few non-triumphs, takes up arms for her cause and abdicates womanhood, can she really be free to be the woman she was born to not be. Joan of Arc is an inspiration to women everywhere precisely because she wasn't just a woman. She transcended her womanhood and thereby showed young girls that the best way to be a historically significant female is to be something other than a female. Superb. Absolutely wonderful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most vehement applause and double tambourine award with Birkenstock epaulettes goes to Greta Gerwig, the director of the mega smash hit movie Barbie. This week it was revealed that Gerwig, who is directing the upcoming Chronicles of Narnia adaptation for Netflix, is in talks with none other than Her Royal Highness Meryl Streep to be the voice of Aslan in the film series. Now, I know, many of you are unfamiliar with the work of C.S. Lewis and books like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because we have successfully sheltered you from the perniciously Christian character of both Lewis's nonfiction and the compellingly elegant allegories for Christianity conveyed in his fiction. But in case you don't know, The world of Narnia is a sin-riddled place missing its distant monarch, populated with humans and many talking animals. And what makes this casting choice so amazing is that Aslan, the faraway king of the beasts, is a massive male lion with a flowing mane who allegorically represents Jesus Christ. In fact, Aslan is so famously masculine that only Liam Neeson was man enough to be his voice in the previous versions of these stories. That's what makes the choice of Streep so daring. Will Aslan be a male lion with a woman's voice? Will Aslan be a completely female lion? Will Aslan be non-binary? Will Aslan actually be Translan, the cross-dressing queen of Narnia? We can only speculate. But just think of the inclusion that little girls and Nalas everywhere can feel as they see one of their own being the hero or heroine of the story. Now, yes, it's true that one of the most poignant scenes in the first book involves Aslan sacrificing himself on the stone table and allowing himself to have his beautiful mane humiliatingly shorn away. But not to worry. Surely, the hyper-creative Gerwig can come up with a similarly stunning humiliation for Translan, whatever shape and gender markers he, she, or they may have. But if Gerwig is indeed going to go down the road of gender-bending Narnia, then go all the way, baby. Perhaps Mr. Tumnus could become a girl. Maybe Mrs. Tumnus could be just another mister. Certainly, there's no reason to keep the White Witch as a female. After all, witch is such a stereotypical slur against strong, intelligent, educated, driven women. Instead, transform that character into the White Warlock, since making the villain be a man is much more in line with feminist ideology, right? Clearly, the children could all be girls, or all boys, or even some whose gender can't even be categorized. And the prophecy could simply be four gender-neutral monarchs to rule over Narnia instead of two sons of Adam and two sons of Eve sitting on the four thrones of Cair Paravel. Instead of the overtly Christian idea of Narnia being frozen in a climate that is always winter and never Christmas, it could be always spring but never Earth Day. Or just a really hot climate change ravaged hurricane season, perhaps. There's just so much that can be done to write gender Narnia and turn it into a secularized and inclusive overture to the people of the holy acronym string. And we are therefore truly grateful that Greta Gerwig has begun to take us down this path by hopefully casting Meryl Streep, fingers crossed, as the voice of Translan. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
626. Hey, Candy. Chumpica just got traffic on the fives.
I was going to say Birkenstocks, but okay.
No. Hey. Double Birkenstock epaulettes. What you got on your feet there, Candy? Go on, John. Go on.
All right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are still looking good. Even 98's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom. Oh, and by the way, I should say David Wayne, our new news director.
Well, thank you.
So congratulations, young Triumphal. Woo-hoo. I don't know, something.
Thank you very much. There's an investigation underway, Andrew, after two planes clipped wings while taxiing at the Reagan National Airport. Congressman Nick LaLota said in a post on X that he and New York Congresswoman Grace Meng were on one of those planes. New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer was also on the plane. That's according to a post on X. And the incident comes, of course, just a few months after that deadly crash between a helicopter and an American Airlines flight that was approaching that same airport. Today is day two of golf's first major championship this year. Justin Rose sitting atop the leaderboard after the first round of the Masters. He shot a 7-under-65 in the opening round. And today is National Pet Day. So they say it's a day to get a special treat for your pets. And also possibly a day to adopt a new pet. There's plenty of them looking for homes at the shelters around the area.
You know, one of the things about having annual celebrations for humans is that humans have a concept of time. And so when you celebrate the birthday, they know the birthday's coming. They've had the birthday celebration. You know, they get that. If you go out of your way to make a special treat day for the dog today, you know when they'll want another treat? In 4 minutes.
Yep, pretty much.
And they will forget that you gave them one 4 minutes ago. That's one of the key differences between pets and humans. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. If you are a contractor, a construction professional, you build things for a living, whether it's commercial or whether it's residential, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Like, they are your people. They are the comprehensive commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is right here in Pensacola. I mean, it's like literally behind that door, right behind them. And if, you know, so they have everything you need. If they don't have what you need, like you have a special order, some kind of a specified product that the architect or the engineer says for this project, they do those for people all the time. They understand. They speak your language. You're going to go there and you're not going to feel like you have to explain what it is you need in, you know, civilian speak. They'll get it because they do this for people all the time. Trust me. I mean, you know, put me on trial, okay? Go down there after work today. If you've never been to Pensacola Hardware and you're, you know, a pro in this stuff, go down and ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and ask them, you know, what can you do for me? Andrew's always talking about you. What can you do for me? Prove it. Give them a problem you've run into. Test them. They don't mind. And then you'll be like, oh, interesting. It can be different. So since 1851, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida for 174 years, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, we got Alex Andrade. Oh, man. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but he grilled the head of AHCA, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, for like 3 hours yesterday because of, oh, I don't know, $10 million that apparently got shoveled off to a fund during a settlement that the state got. We'll tell you more about that coming. This is a big story. Like, this is national news made. This story made national news yesterday.
Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 61 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Pensacola police say a man was taken into custody yesterday. This is after an incident involving a train in downtown Pensacola. It all started when a man jumped onto a moving train. Police were able to stop that train near the skate park. The suspect jumped on, then off, then back on the train again. That time, officers say he attempted to fight the engineer.
They caught up with him and was able to detain him. It was obvious that he had some minor injuries and maybe had a mental event going on.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood. That suspect was ultimately taken for a mental evaluation. A vehicle crashed into a tree outside of the Paparazzi Lounge in downtown Pensacola last night. And fire crews were called to the scene right now. We don't have any word on injuries, but we'll let you know when we learn more. A Miami man is a Simmons. That event is at Five Flags Speedway. Now, if you have a car you want to put in their car show, registration begins at 7:30 tomorrow morning. The first crawfish plates will be served at about 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Well, the Florida Sheriff's Association and clothing brand Growin' With You have launched a fundraiser for Deputy William May's family. They're selling T-shirts with proceeds going to the family and the association's Lend a Hand Fund. Deputy May, a Fort Walton County deputy, was tragically killed last week during an unexpected shootout with the suspect on a routine trespassing call. If you want to see those shirts or you want to make a purchase, you can check out the Florida Sheriff's Association Facebook page. They will have a link on there. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents right now to report to you. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. This traffic report brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It's going to be a lovely day today with temperatures starting off in the 50s, warming into the upper 70s as you head into your afternoon. Plenty of sunshine throughout the day. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. Going into your weekend, beautiful sunny weather will continue with a high near 71 degrees on Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 62 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. And looking like an absolutely beautiful day. Our next news is at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get an market update from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. China has retaliated today against President Trump's reciprocal tariffs by raising its levies on U.S. goods to 125% from 84%. The new duties go into effect tomorrow. Meanwhile, U.S. stocks plummeted yesterday as Trump's trade war continues. The S&P 500 fell 3.5%. The Dow dropped 2.5%. The NASDAQ sank 4.3%. The 10-year Treasury yield was higher this morning as an earlier sell-off in the bonds market resumed, influenced by President Trump's fast-changing policies. The 10-year Treasury yield climbed over 2 basis points to 4.416%. J.P. Morgan Chase has reported first-quarter earnings that exceeded expectations on stronger-than-expected revenue. Revenue came in at just over $46 billion, which came in above the roughly $44.1 billion expected. Futures are moderately higher amid the tariff chaos, not to mention more inflation data that's set to be released later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in on Tuesday at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's Tuesday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This biggity boy's a diggity dog. I have them like Miley Cyrus, clothes off, twerking in their bras and thongs. Face down, booty.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. That is the southern. It's not quite this, but it's below I-10 in Escambia County and then the waterfront properties in Santa Rosa County. I know that's not quite right, but, you know, just for visual sake, it's close enough. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So why would you be so mean to the head of AACA yesterday that you would ask them. What was their expression in their hostage video response? That he ambushed us with these questions?
Yeah. Andrew, I don't know why AACA doesn't think this is a big deal, but if your listeners found out that our state employees entered into a $67 million settlement with a major managed care company, one of our biggest HMOs that only receives taxpayer dollars. And after that $67 million settlement happened, $10 million of it happened to fall off a truck on the way back to the state agency and end up in the hands of the governor's wife's charity. I think most folks would think that was a big deal. That's exactly what happened. And unfortunately, for 2.5 some odd hours, I could not get the secretary of the state's largest agency in control of the largest budget, most amount of money, tell me exactly what that money was even intended to be used for.
So, okay, this healthcare management company does a settlement for money they owe to the state for doing things wrong. $67 million.
Taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, taxpayer dollars. Yep. $57 million of it goes back to AACA appropriately. $10 million of that goes to the Hope Florida program, which is Casey DeSantis's, like, you know, do good things in the community, help people organization. Is that even legally allowed? Did you guys have oversight? Did you know? Can they make a decision? Like, tell me what's going on and why this is inappropriate, because it doesn't sound great, but, you know, maybe they're okay.
So, no, I don't believe it's legal. When a state agency enters into a settlement with a third party that results in money coming back to the state, it's supposed to go back to general revenue. It's supposed to be reported to the legislature. Same with entering into any kind of legal settlement. The legal settlement itself should have been reported to the legislature. The fact that this charity nonprofit, it's technically Hope Florida is a direct support organization of DCF. So it's a 501c3 not-for-profit that's just supposed to be supporting DCF's mission. If that's its case, I'm still at a loss as to how a separate healthcare agency, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, thought it would be a good idea to send money that was due back to AACA to a separate agency's nonprofit organization.
Because transferring it over to DCF would be another, like, you know, you guys in the legislature got the budget wrong. They need this money more than we do. They can do good things with it. Even that they're not supposed to do, even if they were transferring it directly to an actual vetted agency like that, right? I mean, a division
right.
of the government.
And to make matters worse, this is the only charity the state runs that's never filled out a 990 with the IRS reported any of its income, assets, or expenditures. This is the only charity that owns buses but won't tell the state. Like, they've bought buses and wrapped them with the Hope Florida and Casey DeSantis logos and everything like that, but they won't tell the state how much they own. Like, they don't feel as if the rules apply to them or that they have to explain to Floridians exactly what they're doing with taxpayer dollars, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem.
Well, when the secretary was there yesterday for AACA, she basically said back to you, we're doing things to help families and kids, and it's kind of sad, I'm just quoting, that this is the goal of helping individuals get back on their feet. I don't know what's wrong with that. Why aren't you aligned with this? That was her pushback against you. Aren't we doing good things with this money? And your answer is?
There's a record of this nonprofit handing out maybe $1 million in charitable in donations to other charities. Think of it as like the Temu version of the United Way. Like, that's what it is. It like doles out some checks to local charities with big checks and stuff. But maybe $1 million or so dollars I can see a record of. We have evidence at this point of $30 million plus in taxpayer dollars going to Hope Florida, and it's never been accounted for. So there's $10 million from this legal settlement. It looks like there's $20 million in leftover COVID money, unused COVID money that DCF steered to this DSO. And the idea of a DSO, it's literally a direct support organization. It's supposed to be raising private dollars to support the mission of, in this case, DCF, the Department of Children and Families.
Yeah.
Why the heck is it going in the opposite? Why the heck is money going the opposite direction and taxpayer dollars getting funneled to this direct support organization?
So we'll come back to this in a second, because again, this is I saw this on actual national news yesterday, not just Florida news, because it was such a big story, particularly because it's connected to Casey DeSantis. Casey DeSantis, of course, the wife of the governor, but also, you know, widely believed to be one of the front runners potentially for the governorship when he is termed out in 2 years. And we'll come back to this in just a second with Alex Andrade. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report to you right now. Everything's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2 here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. So, Alex, if this all made sense, if it were easy to justify and explain, typically it doesn't take 3 hours or 2.5 hours to not explain it, right? It takes, you know, a couple of minutes. Okay, here's why we have the authority. Here's what they did with the money. Here's why we thought this was a good idea. Here's, right, like that's the, and so when that doesn't happen, you get more and more irritated and it looks more and more like something really illegitimate is happening. A slightly sort of different take on this, and I just don't know, so you tell me. I thought maybe, was Hope Florida involved at all in the efforts by Governor DeSantis last year to oppose the amendments, the marijuana and the abortion amendment? There was no connection between those, was there?
I don't know. That's the whole thing is there is a possibility until we see where their money went. There's a possibility that money's being used for illicit purposes. Because of the timing of when this legal settlement happened and this money got transferred, you know, fell off the truck and got, you know, $10 million got sent over to Hope, Florida. Because of the timing in late September, early October, it's possible this was the money that was used to help fund Anti-Amendment 3 and Anti-Amendment 4 campaign advertising, which would obviously be illegal. We're not sure because they won't share their transactions with us.
We certainly don't know that, but the timing of it and the lack of transparency encourages you to speculate, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. It's possible that you know, the First Lady's living off this money. We don't know, right? Just because they've refused to share any details about their accounts receivable, who's donating and when. I mean, we do know that there's a pattern of very large vendors for the state making very large voluntary contributions to Hope Florida right before major contract awards from the state. We do know that. That doesn't mean, you know, like, what is it? Correlation doesn't equal causation.
Right, sure.
I'm not saying that, but we do know that's happening. We just don't know to what extent, because, again, they have not shared their bank accounts with us, which they're statutorily required to do, and we just don't know the extent of it. It's really is a black hole, and it's unacceptable for a state agency that thought it was a good idea to send $10 million to this black hole to not be able to tell me why they did it or what that money was intended to be used for.
So is it theoretically possible that everything here really does have a good explanation and makes sense, or is it really and clearly, from your point of view, a violation of at least what you're supposed to do or the law, because it didn't come back to you guys for authority and because it was transferring it to a subsidiary of another state agency? Like, best case scenario, is the best case scenario still unacceptable?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because this was a settlement, a legal settlement that by law they were supposed to notify us of, but they did not. And it was a legal settlement that the proceeds of which should have gone immediately back to GR, general revenue. None of that taxpayer dollars should have ever fallen off that truck and gone to Hope, Florida.
We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. I wanted to get to a couple of other things. One thing, just kudos. I played some of the audio earlier this week, but you are running a bill dealing with IHMC that allows them to assign their patents, essentially, intellectual property, to subsidiary units. They have kind of a unique governing structure or unique operating structure, and that makes sense. But the other part of that bill is that it would change the requirement that the chairman of the board of UWF would be an automatic bid onto the board of IHMC. The bill would change that. Which, of course, Scott Yenner's gone now, so, you know, it's not exactly moot, but I can understand why. I just thought it was an interesting opportunity for you to promote IHMC to all of these people from around the state on these committees that, you know, they don't really know about what we're doing here in Pensacola, Florida. That's kind of fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been so proud of IHMC for years. I mean, anytime a legislator comes to town and they have time, I try and bring them over to IHMC just because of how cool IHMC is. I mean, it's just an impressive, you know, operation. I mean, there's no place else in the world I can think of, especially not one that's smack dab in the middle of downtown Pensacola, that's helping blind people see colors through the use of taste, you know, their tongue. There's no place else that you can see these incredible exoskeletons helping paraplegics walk. It's just a really neat operation and something I love bragging on.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And it is. It's like before I lived here, I never heard of it. Once I discovered it, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, this is amazing right here in Pensacola. One of the other obvious hot topic right now is Scott Yenner leaving the UWF Board of Trustees as the chairman. He's resigned. But you still have a process ongoing where the other trustees, nominees that the governor and the Board of Governors have put up are going through the process. They all got approved yesterday by their the next three got approved by their the committee. They have another committee, Ethics and Elections, and they have the general vote in the Senate. I know it's Senate side, not your side. But one of the bills that's being run by, you know, one of your partners at the in Tallahassee, Michelle Salzman, and then I think it's Alexis Claudiud who's running the pair bill on the Senate side, would change the obligations for candidates to be on the Board of Trustees for any member of the state university system. And that would mean they have to either be in residence of Florida or have been a graduate of that institution in order to be eligible. Is that... I've had people text me and say, why would we exclude good people who might be outside the state, not from this system? And my answer is, well, you know, rules are usually a reaction to bad behavior, you know, and this seems like a reaction of the governor's bad behavior here to prevent it from happening in the future. Would it maybe make more sense to have a provision that no more than two or no more than three can be non-Floridian, non-alums or something like that?
Possibly. I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't looked at the bill. Don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay.
Although I think the governor's main issue with it is that it prohibits the governor, the governor's staff, from at all talking with Board of Trustees members during a presidential search.
Okay.
There's language in the bill that I think I don't blame the governor for viewing as hostile. I don't know why we'd restrict the governor's office from doing that. I mean, I haven't looked into the bill enough to understand the justification for that portion.
Okay.
But I think that's while Governor DeSantis won't say that directly, I think that's probably the biggest issue he has with the bill.
And I think there was also a restoring things to sunshine in the process of selecting, and there's been some concern about a requirement that the three candidates, something, you know, like that it doesn't get just decided in the smoke-filled room or whatever is kind of part of it too. But it's an interesting bill. And, you know, honestly, it was really interesting to watch the UWF nominees compared to the PSC nominees because both were in the same hearing yesterday. We'll be talking about that coming up in a minute. Alex, oh my God, we're totally out of time. We always run out of time. And by the way, I like the answer of I'm not sure, I haven't looked into it enough. I honestly respect that answer. You know I do. Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Andrew.
6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. If you have a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, that's not good. The wall shouldn't talk back. The plumbing shouldn't talk back to you. You know, get it fixed. Recover your Tupperware. If that's you, you know you are, and you know you're better than that. Call Barberry Plumbing. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. No delays either. So great news this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailyn Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew Through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Hall's Hardware in Milton on News Radio 92.3.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Did you just waltz in here and bark at your commanding officer? If so, I regard that as a bona fide brain fart.
You really can't overuse that expression, frankly. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, and by the way, congratulations on being promoted to news director yesterday. So, woo!
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. A Los Angeles woman that was in prison in Russia for more than a year is now back home in the U.S. after the U.S. and Russia agreed to a prisoner swap. Russian-American amateur ballerina Ksenia Karolina landed at Joint Base Andrews last night. She says she just feels grateful for efforts to get her home.
I never felt more blessed to be American, and I'm so, so happy to get home.
And Karolina was in Russia to visit relatives. She was arrested for treason after Russian officials learned she had donated $50 to a charity supporting Ukraine. The Menendez brothers' resentencing bid could end today, depending on how a Los Angeles Superior Court judge rules. He'll hear arguments about whether county attorneys there can withdraw a motion filed by his predecessor. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says new research will discover the cause of autism by this September. He made that announcement during a White House cabinet meeting yesterday.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about things that can be done to improve the overall aesthetic and appeal of Pensacola with our next Civicon presenter, Kobe Lefkowitz, and some real drama in the hearings over those appointees.
Local news every hour. And